insult my queen. You threaten my people with slavery and death. Oh, I've chosen my words carefully, Persian. Perhaps you should have done the same.
This is blasphemy. This is madness.
This is
Extra Life Radio.
Extra Life Radio. It was a zombie. Eat your brains. Darn it.
Oh, have you?
Oh, no, Extra Life. Get off there, Extra Life. Go away, go away. Shoo, shoo.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the show. If you've never heard of this before, this right here is Extra Life Radio, and I'm Scott Johnson. Your host. This is, of course, the official podcast of MyExtraLife.com. If you know about it, then you know about the comic, the blog, and everything else that's going on over there. So go check it out, MyExtraLife.com. And we are sponsored in part by, you never heard this before, GoDaddy.com. Use Life1, Life2, or Life3 as your code. Save money on your next .com needs over there at GoDaddy. Thanks to them for being a sponsor of the show. Also want to thank you by now, or thank them, YouByNow.com, where you can use Extra Life as your code. And that, my friends, will save you 10% on your next order for your next replica lightsaber, let's say. That's good times. Anyway, go check them out. Thanks a lot to you, you by now as well. Let's just get right into the show. Oh, I guess I should say this. It's show 167. It is January 17th. It is the year of our Lord, 2008. And we have a chat room. And we have Brian. Brian from Mission Deep and Commission Comic. Comics coasttocoast.com. Brian is here. Brian, hello.
Hi, how's it going?
Have you recorded a Comics Coast to Coast lately?
Yes, we recorded two last week. We just posted a Comics Coast to Coast the day before, yesterday.
Yes.
From the creator of Mutts. Very good interview.
Yes, Mutts, a syndicated comic, as I understand
that
it.
That is correct.
Excellent. Also joining us, not Obsidian from commissioncomic.com. He is out of commissioned. O is normally here, but O is moving. He moved this week, and I assume the move went okay, but apparently he has no internet yet. We knew this was a possibility last week. I don't know if we said it on the show, but after the show, at least he told us, hey, you guys, I don't know where I'm going to be. So If you don't see me Thursday night, it means I don't have internet yet, and it appears he does not have internet yet.
He's living with the monkeys.
So instead, we have a monkey here living with us. Joining us from Texas is TheInstance.net's very own Randy Jordan, a.k.a. Randy Deluxe, sitting in O's chair for us this week. How's it going, Randy?
Ooh, I get no kick from champagne.
Yeah, you liar. You get plenty of kick out of champagne.
No, seriously, man. Mere alcohol doesn't thrill me at all.
Really?
I'm telling you.
All right. But naked... Never mind.
What is it?
Okay, my cough is on the mend. However, I will warn you that it comes back when I laugh. So don't make me laugh. Brian, keep it to yourself tonight.
All right, sir.
Yeah. I'm kidding. You can be as funny as you want. That's what the people want. That's what they came here for.
Yeah.
Joining us virtually from the power of Ustream.tv, we have 91 and counting viewers of the show live, listening, and hanging out. So welcome to all of them. I'll mention a few names. Campaigner, Bithin, Astronaut LOL, that's a laughing astronaut. Cartoon Paul, Densley is here. Big shout out to Densley, close friend of mine. Eddie Supreme, which I usually will get over just the regular Eddie because they don't have enough beans.
Yeah. Not to be confused with Randy Deluxe.
Yeah. And my favorite name of all time, of course, Seamus is here, but he's not my favorite name. But Seamus is omnipresent. I got to give a shout out to my new favorite name in all the history of nicknames, and that would be somebody named Humperdinkle. I don't know who this guy is personally, but great name. Humperdinkle. Excellent. Anyway, welcome to the show, all of you. Thanks for being here, and thanks again to you two for being here. Let's get on with the show. Got a few topics in mind. Can I do a couple of birthdays just to blow them out like a big fart? Is that all right with you guys? All right.
Yeah.
All right. Here goes.
Who's getting older? I want to know.
I coughed and I didn't even laugh first. I must have lied. All right. All right, let's do this. I'm just trying to track it down. Here it is. Okay, I still have people asking all the time, hey, can you do the birthday thing, but can you say it in a weird voice or have Brian sing it in a falsetto tone or something? And I say unto you, nay. I'm unable to do that because I made a commitment that these would now be just mentions. Anyway, so we got a we want to mention Pete. He had a birthday.
Pete, congratulations.
Daniel on January 12th had a birthday. So happy birthday,
right, Daniel.
Daniel,
way to go.
Somebody named Carnage 94, which was the year my daughter was born, which is strange.
No way. Your parents didn't name you Carnage.
Well, he may be lying. And it's with a K.
If they were going to, they'd name you Carnage 2099, right?
True. That's true. And if they're going to start it with a K instead of a C, that means that they this is the birth child of Sub-Zero and one of the chicks from Mortal Kombat. I don't know where I'm going.
Get
with
over
that.
Here, that scorpion.
Get over. Happy birthday, Carnage 94. Tom also had a birthday. Happy birthday. And Miles. That's all I have.
O'Brien.
Well, his real name is... Oh, no, it's somebody else is doing it for him. It's for Cy. Like pitcher Cy Young, he says. So happy birthday to him. And lastly, Tony. Happy birthday, Tony. So there you go. Yeah. That wasn't so bad.
Cy's a good name, especially if it's short for Cylon. Name your kid Cylon.
Oh, we're going to talk about Cylons in a minute.
All right.
I take some issue with something that happened on the site. We'll get to that, though.
Yeah.
All right.
Speaking of a Cylon story, before we go too far.
Please, please.
Just for a minute, I had a geek lapse. I was watching.
Excuse me?
A geek lapse.
A geek lapse. All right, geek lapse.
Yeah, I was watching the A-Team. And it was starting, and it had been so long since I've seen the beginning of the A-Team. You know, I was kind of like paying attention to it a little bit more than I probably would have back then. And
all right.
And Face was, you know, the character Face. Dirk.
Starbuck.
Dirk, what's his name?
Yeah, Dick Bennett Benadryl.
Dick Benadryl. But anyway.
Dick Benadryl. He was great back in the day.
He was, you know, he's standing there on a movie set, and one of the Cylons walks by, and he kind of makes this look on his face and kind of points at it, kind of like, ah, I remember that. And I totally didn't get it at first. I'm like, what the crap is he pointing at that Cylon for? And going, like, does he know somebody that's in the Cylon suit? And I said, I'm an idiot. Of course.
Yeah.
It's an in joke.
Yeah, of course.
It's in that show, so yeah.
That's funny that you had never caught that.
Yeah, so it was like, duh.
Yeah.
But it's just weird that they would do that week after week. You'd think that joke would get old.
Yeah, no, the intro for every show, you mean. That's pretty ridiculous, yeah.
Yeah.
That's like Mr. T building a Cylon in the middle of the show for the little music montage. That would be really bad.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what? I miss shows that do that.
Yeah. And another thing I noticed, too. Another thing I noticed, they do it on some modern shows too, but the A-Team would show like little bits from the whole show before the show started.
Yeah.
And it's like...
Not just BSG, but all kinds of shows would do that.
Yeah,
yeah,
well, that's true.
They do that.
Yeah, it's weird. But seriously, Randy, why don't more TV shows have the middle of the show montage of people building stuff and doing stuff? I saw this recently in Harry Potter 5, the movie. They had a middle of the movie montage. It didn't have that music though.
Well, that and I mean, just in that movie alone, that was just a convenience because for some reason somebody got it in their head that the 2 hour and 45 minute long Harry Potter movies were too long, and this one needed to be only like 203 or something.
Yeah,
which I think is horrible. They had so much bad editing. There should be like a Razzie for editing for that film. But
biggest book ever too. You think
that's what they were doing there, is they were just concentrating a bunch of scenes, not like a fun music video like you used to see in TV shows.
Yeah, I don't understand that. So when they put something together in any show, I mean, they kind of do this on CSI. You know, they got the music going and they're zooming in on this microscope and, oh, look, that's where that bullet tore that guy's kidney in half. And, you know, they do all that kind of stuff and that's great, but I just think more shows need it. And they need to have some kind of thing that everybody needs to build right in the middle of the show to kind of turn the tide.
No,
that's all I'm saying.
Enough building. Yeah, there's not enough building in shows. You're right.
Yeah, see?
Where's our craftsmanship?
Yeah, what the hell?
Everybody wants to solve it with guns now.
Exactly. And don't forget, guns don't kill people. Converted dumpsters on wheels with a machine gun mounted on it kill people. Because that's what the A-Team is all about.
Yeah, that's what the A-Team would do, yeah.
All right, speaking of A-Teams, let's talk about the Apple team. What a transition. A team.
Oh, that's awesome.
It is awesome. Steve Jobs, who we will now refer to as Mr. T. No, those two have nothing in common. However, he got up this week. I know people are tired of hearing about it. I'm a Mac user, so this has some interest to me. But I'm a little wishy-washy on this week's big keynote at Macworld 08.
Yeah.
Let me give you my general thoughts, okay? I'm an iPod Touch user. I love it. And they released new apps for that thing. They didn't do it for free. A lot of people are ticked about that because early adopters have to pony up $19 to get it. People who buy it now in the store will get it already loaded. Personally, it didn't bother me, and I was willing to pay it because I like those apps, and it's all good for me. that's one thing. I was happy to see that. The Apple TV high-definition download rental hoochie mama thing they're going to do with every major studio.
Let's talk about the rentals for a moment.
Okay, tell me what you want to know. What's your beef with the rentals?
Okay, the rentals. Honestly,
it's pay per view. Let's throw this out. It's not really.
That's exactly what I'm going to say. It's pay per view because of the pricing says pay per view.
Yeah.
Because they're competing with pay per view prices.
Yep.
And so it's just not, to me, it's not rental. It should be called Apple pay per view or something, because once you start watching it, you have 24 hours to complete your watching.
But doesn't pay per view have a connotation to it, like there's going to be nothing but big fat wrestlers for 2 hours in the cage match of a lifetime? Isn't it that? I mean, that's when I hear the word pay per view, I think of the cheesiest, crappiest content you can come up with. No offense to wrestler lovers. I'm not trying to get you in trouble. I'm just saying.
That is some of it, but I mean, that's usually not, if you got like a DirecTV or something, I mean, those usually happen, once a month or so. So, yeah. But most pay-per-view is the movies.
But isn't just semantics, Randy? I mean, we're just talking about a name here.
Yeah, we are. But I like to always take early projections with a grain of salt. I know if I'm in a business like this, I like to hit the market with my upper worst plan for the consumer.
Yeah.
And see if they buy it, and then if they really react strongly, I then come back and say, look, see, we care about you. We're actually going to let you do it for 72 hours or whatever.
Yeah,
that may be the case.
Yeah, and that happens with Apple sometimes. They did this when the iPod Touch was launched, I was floored that they had a contact application in there that would sync with your contacts, and they included it in there, and it was just like the one on the iPhone, and it worked great, and you could add these on the fly on the unit. However, they also came with a calendar application that had no ability to add calendar items unless you synced them to a computer, which made zero sense. And there was this rumor floating around that it was a mistake. They actually didn't mean to do that. I don't know whether they did or not. But people flipped out and wanted it and demanded it. And pretty quick, there was a free update that fixed that, and it was great. So they do this. And they also do it with things like, the Apple TV. There was a lot of early adopters on that, including me. And I love mine. I use it like crazy. But it was missing some of these things that they added this week. I'm thrilled that it's a free update and I don't have to go out and buy some new hardware. I can just jump right in and start using it. And I, for one, think this was the most significant moment of the show. All the talk about these movies and doing them in HD and stuff, because I've been looking for a good HD pay-per-view or rental model, depending on how you look at it. I don't like the 360 selection. I don't mind the system, the way that 360 does it, but there's hardly anybody in there. Movies aren't great. The selection kind of stinks, and not every studio is involved. This is a case where every studio is involved. I get a lot more HD content, a lot more standard definition content, and I get it for a price that I consider to be reasonable. It's basically on par with what the 360 is doing and other pay-per-view options. So I'm pretty happy about all that. That's all great. But they launched something that, let's put it this way. Brian's got a little something stuck in his craw about this.
Rental.
Well, let's look at it this way. Apple's not one to shy away from doing some crazy new product.
Yeah.
They launched this week. What I was worried they were going to do is they were going to launch some notebook that would make me so sad that I still had a lowly black MacBook and I had to upgrade to something else.
Yeah.
And what happened for me instead was they showed me something that I felt like the minute I would touch it, it would break.
Yeah, that's what I feel too.
That thing's like a paper thin, fits in an envelope. I get how cool that is and sexy that is and everything else. But it turns out Brian's big issue with it is it doesn't come with an optical drive. And I would say to you, Brian, well, of course it doesn't. It's the damn thinnest notebook on the planet. How could they? They're not going to put one in there anyway.
Yeah. well, what's the use of having it? I don't know. When they got rid of the floppy, I mean, it was pretty much obsolete. But I use CD-ROMs on the daily. You know what I'm saying?
Yo.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? On the daily? I use the CD-ROMs on the daily. All okay. the time.
Yeah, well, I do too.
So
sure,
I don't really see the use of having a... that better be one big hard drive on that thing, but it's not.
85 gig, store, right?
So, yeah, to store all your crap because it's just I don't know. I think it's a bad decision. I don't really see the benefit of it being. I mean, it's thinner, yeah, but you know the MacBook's not that thick. I mean, crap.
This reminds me.
You gotta have to be.
This reminds me, and Randy, you can totally jump in on this because I have a feeling you have an opinion about what I'm about to say.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a sense that that notebook is not about practicality. It is not about filling a specific need. It is about showmanship, and that's it. It's about saying, look at us. We have this thing that's thinner than anything Sony ever dreamed of, and feast your eyes on this. It is about,
why can't every year we launch an iPod? Why can't every year we watch it launch an iPhone? And so sometimes you just got to try.
Yeah.
And you don't launch an iPhone.
It's hard to fault them for that.
Laptop ever.
This reminds me of the G4 Cube they made years ago.
Yeah. I actually wanted one of those. Those are pretty cool.
I did too. They were kind of cool looking. But again, that's the point. It was like this showmanship thing. This doesn't have any fans. It's the size of a little teeny box. It's sexy as hell, you know.
You have to lay it down on the ice cooler in order to really get the most out of it. Yeah. And then there's one of my bigger complaints about new tech. Now, understand, I'm talking about things that are above a certain size, and that certain size is very small here.
Yeah.
And that is no removable battery. Come on.
Yeah.
This is the 21st century.
Well, and look at it this above, way, though. You want removable so you have additional battery storage? Is that what you're saying?
And so I have a chance when there's battery failure at not having to replace the entire device.
Well, they released pricing for it, $129 to replace the battery, and they do it for free, the installation, I mean. So that's I don't know how pricey that is because I've never really bought
that's
extra notebook
about
batteries.
How much your laptop battery is anyway. So, I mean,
yeah.
that's about standard.
Is it about that cost? Because that relieved me a little bit because they did come out and say, look, you bring it into an Apple store, we give you another one, and we do a free installation, and it's a $129 battery. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. But.
And you also can buy an external optical drive for $99 that only works with the MacBook Air.
Yeah.
I mean, if
that's
you
stupid.
Have to have,
that but working that working just with the Air, that pisses me off.
Well, you know, Brian, it's because the entire device is not as thick as the width of a USB port.
Yeah. No, it's a good point. And you know what? Good on them for saying, you know what, we're going to design the thinnest notebook ever. I just don't have a need for this.
I don't either.
I need a notebook I'm not going to bend because I farted.
Now, I always want to argue with that sort of statement because no one has a need for an iPhone. No one has a need for an iPhone. That thing is all about sexy and sexy only. There's nothing going on there that
I need
that is
to
some,
be cool.
Yeah, it's revolutionary in all the stuff being wrapped up in one and looking so good while doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And they're good at this, and I get it. And you know what? You got to keep that sense of we're always doing something new all the time going. And props to them for making it at least feel like that's what's happening.
Yeah.
But this is
a question I must ask you. For Mac to get new customers, I think they're doing the right thing, bringing out all this new stuff constantly. Look at this. This is sexy. This is hot. But honestly, once you get so many customers, when do those people start going, well, crap, I just bought my freaking MacBook last year for the same price, and it looks like old antique crap, and now they got the new crap. I can't keep up with it.
Yeah, they keep obsoleting themselves. That's true. And they take some criticism for that. I don't know. It's a hard balance. Obviously, they're not going to hit it head on every time, but
yeah.
I don't know. I think generally, you know, the one thing you cannot deny, whether you love them or hate them, okay? The one thing you cannot deny is their ability to grab the attention of every damn buddy anytime they do anything. And so when Microsoft says, hey, we're going to get up and talk about computers this week, nobody gives a rat's a. Nobody piles on. Nobody gets excited. They get a little mention on Engadget, and it gets buried in 20 minutes. It's like nobody even cares about the thing. So they've got some crazy hold on the imagination, especially the internet press. It's just crazy. Yeah. Anyway, I didn't want to talk about it so long, but we did anyway.
Well, and they do have that hold, but what they're doing now is they're creating niche markets from whole cloth. And I think it's great, but you don't want to have any big failures while you're doing that. So they're also not at this point, I don't see them taking any huge risks. This is not a huge risk. This is just intended to be some, you know,
it's a Ferrari, cool, dude.
Next new thing.
Yeah, it's a Ferrari. It's like saying, here, get the Ferrari, and we'll keep selling lots of these other notebooks because they make more financial sense, and you're not going to bend it by looking at it. But go ahead and get this one because you have to have everything, whoever that small percentage of people is.
Right. So. Oh, it's a surprisingly loud number of people for how small the percentage is. You know, the iProduct community.
Oh, yeah.
Really speaks up.
It does, and I mean, to Apple's credit, their percentage is up this year. Their sales are huge, and their Mac sales are even better, and their notebook sales are incredible. But it's still this weird little niche-y guy who can't wait to have something that fits in a damn envelope.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't care about
who
that.
Who did we say? Hot dog!
It fits in an envelope.
I dog.
Is that where they're
going to
ship the thing in?
Yeah. Today, I handed an envelope to my boss today and said, here's your new MacBook Air.
Yeah, here's your new $1,700 laptop. Have fun.
Yeah. Anyway, there you go. So if you guys want one, go check it out at the Apple Store. Neat, nifty, cool. Okay, I got to tell you guys about this.
Television.
All right, let's talk a little television. I don't really call it television that often. I was able to view some television this week.
Yeah.
The first three episodes of Jericho were season two were leaked on BitTorrent.
Dun-dun-dun.
Much to the dismay of everyone involved, I'm sure. But
don't worry, we're not going to mention any spoilers.
No.
Scott has prompted.
Spoiler-free conversation about this. But I have seen the first two. I haven't seen the third yet. Kim and I will be watching that soon. We were big fans of the first season because the first season reminded us of The Stand and other things that I like. Kind of apocalyptic sort of, you know, that sort of stuff. Day After Tomorrow kind of stuff. We like that. So we really got into the first season. And I realized this season, this isn't a, you know, if you've seen this show at all, I'm not going to not be spoiler-free about last year. But Simon and Simon guy, whatever his name is, Major Dad. What's his name? Gerald McRaney.
Yes.
Yeah.
I can't believe I know that name. He was in last season. He played kind of the mayor. Well, not kind of. He was the mayor. And he was like this father figure to the whole show and everything. And he ends up dying because I don't think they thought they were even going to get a second season.
Yeah.
So he's out, dead, bloody on the table, saying, where's my wife, fat lady from Designing Women? And aren't they married? Anyway, that doesn't matter. The point is, he croaked. He kicked the bucket. And this season, I'm not going to give any spoilers. I just feel like this show is not the same without him.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say. It's not bad. It's not terrible. But it isn't. Part of it isn't great coming back for me because he had a really... He was the Adama of this show. I know that sounds stupid, but you know what I mean? The guy that kind of ties everything together...
Yeah,
the leadership and the sort of piece of it that makes you go, man, I'm glad he's in charge.
Yeah.
With him being gone, it feels like killing off Adama or killing off Fred from Scooby-Doo. I couldn't think of another one, dude.
This is a particularly poignant point to make when the only reason to have Skeet Ulrich on your show is to kill him.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, what is Skeet Ulrich is he's the main dude. He's Jake.
Skeet.
Right.
And he bugs me to no end. I have to tell people that. Not in this season. Right. I mean, all seasons.
and he hangs in a picture over Satan's bed. I mean, that guy truly
Satan evil. Sleeps in a bed? Wow.
Yes, with Saddam Hussein. You didn't know that?
Oh, yeah, South Park. Everything you need to know, you learn on South Park.
That's right.
Anyway, so there's that, and just to give you, do you guys have any questions about it without spoilers? Do you have any, you don't really have any?
Brian, did you watch Jericho?
I watched the whole season last year. It was awesome.
And so you'll continue?
Oh, yes.
Well, how about you? Did you watch it at all, Randy?
Yeah, and it's off, it's outside the bubble for me because I've been, there's just too much. There's too much television.
Too much good TV, or there was. Yeah. Now we're in the dog days of hell, but.
Right now there is. You're absolutely right that there's a huge dearth right now, and I would take a show like that and just eat it up. And I'm watching American Gladiators, and I'm watching Apprentice Celebrity Edition.
Yeah.
Hey, wait. Can you tell me how the Gladiators thing is? Because
it is exactly like it was 15 years
ago. Well, good, because I liked it. It was competition and fighting and stuff, and I haven't seen it, but I'm all into the whole, do they still have guys stand on pillars with big Q-tips and fight it out and stuff? Oh, that's awesome. Yes.
Only difference now is Hulk Hogan is involved.
Right. And it's strange because via clever editing, they're making him look like a pretty good interviewer.
Really?
Really.
And if you've seen his reality TV show, you know he's working way over his mental capacity. And, I don't know what to expect.
Yeah, he's basically a steroid with a thin layer of human skin. He's a strange man.
And you know, he never took steroids.
Really? He says
he did. Of course he did. Of course he did.
Yeah, I was going to say, man. He ate them for breakfast, didn't he? A whole bowl of them. Where's the milk? I got to eat these anabolic crunchy-os. Anyway.
And I got to say just one thing real quick.
Sorry.
When it comes to editing, in order to find 42 minutes of television to put on TV, someone should give a Lifetime Achievement Award to whoever edits that Celebrity Apprentice show and the previous Apprentice shows. You know they are just dredging the bottom of the barrel to get television worthy scenes.
Well, who's the can you tell me some of the names of the gladiators, like Speed and Steroid and Dirt Chucker or whatever? What are some of their names? I love that stuff.
There is one gladiator
Hemroid
who was on the original series and is on this one.
Oh, who?
And in the commercial, he's the one that he says something snarky.
The one with the walker. Can't miss him.
Now he's got this huge square jaw.
Yeah.
And he says something snarky in the commercials. I can't remember what it was, but his name is Titan.
Spike. Titan. Really? Because Titan was kind of an also-ran back then. He wasn't as cool as, like, I don't remember their names, like Hawk and freaking Zap or something.
This guy, Titan, his real name is Michael O'Hearn, and he has apparently spent the last 10 years becoming a fitness model and won Mr. Universe 4 times.
Wow.
And when you see him, you're like, oh, yeah, that guy won Mr. Universe. I would not want to joust against him because he just looks like he'd just cut you in half with a Q-tip.
How do they look in their outfits? How are the clothes and the uniforms?
So
still tight?
Yeah, right? So yummy. I mean, wow. It's just like it always looks. You know, they look like pro wrestlers. They look like
women who look like men. It's awesome.
Yeah. All right.
Men who shave their legs.
Okay, so some of the other names that come to mind.
Yeah.
Not kidding. There's a huge woman named Helga.
Oh, I heard about her. Yep, I heard about that.
She's scary.
That's retarded. Is she like German or something?
Yeah. The one my wife hates has a bunch of facial hair and long hair. He's called Wolf.
Oh. Why does she hate him? Just the hair?
Because he's butt ugly.
Oh, all right.
Because
she likes you, and you're kind of a hairy guy.
Okay. No, but I'm really not. The beard that I grow out and the hair that I grow off my head, that's pretty much all I've got to offer.
Really?
So I'm lucky in that I will never bald. I've got just a tremendous head of hair, but that's all I've got.
I sleep in a tub of Nair. Anyway.
But anyway, there's Titan, there's the usual Siren and Hammer and Fury and Mayhem.
Mayhem, dude. Don't want to mess with Mayhem.
And then there's some that make no sense. Like there's a guy called Militia, and you're like, isn't that a plural word?
That's at least 12 or 15 guys working.
I was going to go with one-man army, but then I shortened it down to militia.
They told me I had the power of, I don't know, it's bizarre. And then there was another one that's really strange. Oh, Justice. And the reason I think the name Justice is inappropriate is because you're out there fighting a guy. And you know you have to treat both of the opponents equally and so forth. Like there's really no justice being delivered by this guy.
No,
at all.
No,
you know, like he should have been called, you know, Whacker or something, because it's just a horrible name.
Well, how do the competitors do? Are we seeing some decent competition?
They're pretending to be normal people from normal towns, and you know they're all Hollywood audition types.
Yeah.
And their backstories are not any good, and it's kind of sad.
Because they're all freaking trash, dude. The people on that show aren't going to have any cool things to say.
Well, we're talking about out of work actors in a huge arena studio in Hollywood, pretending to be a stay at home mom who likes to work out from Louisiana, and that needs to stop.
Yeah, they need to quit doing that.
So this show is definitely not hit by the writer's strike.
No way.
Unless Hulk Hogan's in the SAG, I doubt it. Yeah. Is it the SAG?
The WGA.
Oh, sorry. What am I thinking of SAG? What is
Screen Actors
Guild? Oh, Screen Actors Guild. Never. Yeah, he's not in that either, damn it.
No,
he's in the SAG, as in he's a saggy freaking bag of a former self.
He's going to come kill you.
Yeah, he may. He could. Anyway, so go see that if you want. And I will say this of Jericho. I'm enjoying it, and I'll definitely watch this season. I just have a sneaking feeling that this may be it for them. You'll get a second season out of these guys, and it'll be done. And the experiment of the masses have spoken, and we, the network, are going to give the show a second chance. That'll all end, and the goodwill will be done, and the show will be off. That's what I think. And it's unfortunate, because I think it has some momentum. Again, I miss the dad. That's my main thing, and I really think they need to stick to the whole Stan kind of feel of it, like isolation and the unknown on the outside, and stick together as a town. All of that makes the show, the sum of the show, a little better than its individual parts for me, so...
Speaking of, can I have a quick poll?
Please, poll.
The movie The Postman.
Oh, I hated The Postman. I hated it. Hated it. And I wanted to like it. Now, this is a guy, hold on. I got to tell you, this is a guy who loved Waterworld. I'll admit it. I'm happy to admit it. I love Waterworld. I hated The Postman.
Brian Dunaway.
Yes, sir.
What's your vote?
The Postman.
What are you want to know if I liked it or not?
Yeah, no. We want to know if you are a postman and if you would please deliver my letter.
Yeah. I never seen it.
Oh, wow.
You've never seen Tom Petty in the role of
that was like the number one film or something.
Because it's so hard to afford. It's like 6 hours long.
Yeah,
it's always on USA and TBS and AMC, and it's hard to avoid.
Yeah, it's hard to avoid. It's a little like chlamydia if you're sleeping around.
Yeah.
You know what I'll say about this, about that movie? There is one really cool concept, Randy, that I dig on with The Postman. We've never really talked about The Postman on here. But here's what I love about The Postman. I love that his arch nemesis, spoiler alert, is a...
Fast forward 1 minute.
His job before the big apocalyptic end of the world thing was he was a copier salesman at some office place.
Right.
And I love that. Yes. And that guy who plays him, who was also... People would know him from the coach from Remember the Titans, the white one. he's in many other... Oh, he was in Armageddon. I think he's one of the only guys that got back. Right?
You're making me really sad.
It's the one part where it's the guy in Armageddon who was sticking animal crackers in Steve Tyler's daughter's gut. Remember that? Oh, no, wait. Wrong guy. Anyway, I love that guy. The guy that sold copiers, he's great. Other than that, movie sucked. Tom Petty, what a joke. Stupid, lame, gay. Okay, anyway, so what do you think now that you've taken your little poll?
Okay, I think Will Patton is a very good actor.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And I think you've managed to name his positively worst appearances ever.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he's not great in Remember the Titans, but a lot of people saw that. You know what I mean? But I think he makes things better by being in them.
Yes, he does, and it's one of his best roles in The Postman because I'm not exactly sure how, but he gets to play a true crazy like megalomaniac, and he pulls it off, and he really pulls it off, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah,
I like the film. I really do. It's not you know in the top 500 of all time, by any means. But maybe a bit of an understatement.
Yeah. No kidding. But,
what did you think of Waterworld as a contrast?
Waterworld's all right. It's the same thing. It's something I can watch when I'm homesick or whatever. It's on.
It's guys with machine guns riding around on jet skis. That right there is enough for me. It's enough. It's enough for that. It's enough for them to keep saying, "You ever seen paper?" And have everybody treat paper like it's the freaking gold of the world. I love that.
And drink their own pee. Yep. Drinking pee is cool.
Yep, it's got that Napoleon Dynamite side of your head ponytail girl in it.
Yeah.
She's good. It's got a really bad performance by Dennis Hopper.
That's awesome. Anyway,
yeah,
can't beat that movie. So there's that. We're going to, oh my gosh, we're at the halfway point. We're going to take a quick break. Quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little about the Sarah Connell. I say this wrong, and so I just call it the Terminator Show. The Sarah Connor Chronicles. Could they have picked a stupider, harder name to say over and over? Sarah Connor Chronicles. Sarah Connor Chronicles. Anyway, I want to talk about what we think of that thing and our general thoughts. All three of us have seen it. I have no idea what the other two think, so that'll be fun. And a bunch more stuff, so hang in there. We'll be right back. And welcome back to the show, everyone. Thanks for hanging in there. Our bounteous chat room has reached 107 people. Welcome back to the show. Brian and Randy are, of course, with me here. And we have some more things to talk about. A lot of TV today. It's partly because we've had such a drought from anything good that when we have something decent to talk about, we may as well. All right, let's talk a little bit about the Sarah Connor Chronicles. Which I think they should have just called this Terminator, personally. Just keep the name. I don't know. I just don't like subtitles. Anyone who listens to Infendo will know this of me. Every Nintendo game lately has a stupid subtitle attached to it. And I would prefer that not be the case. However, let's talk about this show. It's got the hottie mom from freaking 300 in it.
Yeah.
She's Sarah Connor. And you can still hear her little English accent leak out once in a while. But, you know, oddly enough, I was a little worried about seeing her in this because I didn't think she looks anything like What's-Her-Beak. What's her name? The original Sarah Connor. What's her freaking name? Linda Hamilton, right. She didn't look anything like Linda Hamilton to me, but she kind of plays it like her, and she grew on me immediately. I really like her in the role. So I'm totally fine with that. Interestingly enough, though, the boyfriend... And I'm not giving anything away here, but the boyfriend that she's with for a while before they leave, they pitch town and go away, and he's the medic guy, and he gets married. The girl he married looks just... I've seen her before on other stuff. She looks just like Linda Hamilton. She may as well be her. So
I think that may have been one of those things where they went to cast her, and they realized she didn't have the range, and it's too bad, so they gave her some other little role for a while.
You know what? I think you're right, because she looks just like that lady.
Yeah.
She was in that weird HBO thing that everybody was all controversial about. I can't remember the sex one. I know that's
don't work.
That's basically HBO every day, but I can't think of the... anyway, the point is, anyway, so you got the chickie from 300. She's great.
Lena Headey.
Yes,
Lena Headey.
Please do this as I go, please. Give me a real name so I don't that's sound like a total idiot. My wife's pissed at me because we're sitting there watching it, and every time she'd come on and she's with her son, the angsty teenage, it looks like he came off some Nickelodeon show kid.
Thomas Decker.
Thank you, Thomas Decker.
Also known as Light Years Better Than Edward Furlong.
I'm with you 100% on that. Furlong was emo before there was such a thing.
Exactly.
But anyway, I'm watching this kid and her, and every time she'd show up in there, I'd always go, dude, your mom is hot. And my wife would hit me in the arm. Gets her all pissed off. But anyway, she is hot. She has no right to be anyone's mom. She's way too good looking. Anyway, so that's her, and she really is the backbone of Sparta, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, good point. Yeah, yes. She's pretty much the only woman.
She's awesome. It's one of the strongest woman roles in recent movie history in 300. And for that matter, Linda Hamilton was in her day for Terminator 2.
Yeah.
Not Beauty and the Beast so much, where she was in that with Hellboy. Anyway, back to the real world here. So you got that, and then you got the Terminator chick who is Summer Glau. I got the name first before calling her some other name. So basically, River from River Tam from Serenity and Firefly. She's in this, and she you know surprised me a little. I kind of expected that to be the thing I didn't like the most, and I actually really liked her in it. So we'll talk about it in detail. But here's my general thought. I want to get what you guys think. I am. Extremely, and I've only seen two episodes. I think that's all that's aired.
Right.
I'm really, really liking it. And I'm willing to admit that part of it might be that we have been deprived from good TV because of the strike, and I'm willing to take just about anything, and the fact that it's better than average is maybe making it better than it should be for me. There are definitely a few holes, and the one big hole is that time travel never works in anything you do, so you may as well not do it, and Terminator is one of the greatest offenders in this area. The original films are... The time travel in those movies is unbelievably retarded because... Anyway, it's just... I don't mean how they travel around. I mean the fact that they just ignore the idea that this time travel has any kind of effect on the future or the present. Anyway, we've talked about this on the show before. Other than that giant hole, I don't have too much to complain about. I'm really enjoying it. The action's awesome. The acting's really good. The kid's a little angsty, but still better, like you said, than Furlong. And I'm pretty excited to see how it kind of transpires. I have a little worry in my head that every episode is her and a bigger Terminator slamming each other through walls for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And just running and running and running. So I'm a little worried about that, but I'm obviously going to wait and see. And so far it's been true to the lore of the movies, especially the first two. It's very true to that sensibility, that kind of feel. It feels like a James Cameron type dude put his stamp of approval on this. Anyway, that's my thoughts. Let's talk to Brian first. Brian, your thoughts on the Sarah Connor Chronicles.
How's it going? I would say
yeah.
The first part of the series because it was a two-nighter last Sunday night and Monday night. And I tell you, when I watched on Sunday night, I was thinking, okay, nothing really too special about this show. It's kind of average, really. It's annoying me a little bit that the Terminator cannot shoot worth shit. I don't know what it is about 2 feet away from his target. And
that's always been an issue, though. You mean the substitute teacher Terminator? Is that what you mean?
Yeah. I mean, he's like, you know, all over top of him, and he can't, you know, he's like looking around. I can't find him. I can't find him. Oh, there he is.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I really didn't like. That was actually the next night, I think, wasn't it? When the substitute teacher was around, was that the second night?
Second night. Yeah. No, wait.
That was the beginning of the first episode.
You're right. The second night was a whole another Terminator model, who I'm trying to decide what his deal was. I've seen him in other stuff.
The first night, I really felt like they were telling us how the characters feel. Which made me feel like it was a very average show because, you know, you would prefer to see the actions from the characters to understand how they feel. That's better writing. And I feel like they come across that a lot better as it went along into the second show. And the first one was kept like being like, I'm dysfunctional. You're dysfunctional. You know, it's just kind of like the whole time it was just kind of like really in your face of how they feel. But yeah, like I said, the things that were taking me out of the show, of course, were the Terminators constantly not being able to shoot. I mean, just right on top of him, still couldn't hit him. And when the teacher left the room that one time, class dismissed, I was like, okay, come on.
Yeah, but that was a little, you have to admit, and you just even did it in a little pseudo-Arnold voice.
Yeah.
It's kind of a throwback to that stupid one-liner thing that he basically invented with Terminator, I think.
Yeah.
All right, so you think it's got some potential. You didn't love the first episode. You thought did you see the second one yet?
Yeah, I saw both episodes. And the second one, when the Terminator shows up, it's like, okay, do all Terminators when they come here, they have to be badass? And so, you know, whenever the Terminator pulled up to the bank in the second episode, he's like in some kind of hopped up Mustang or something coming out of nowhere. I'm like, where the crap did he get that car? Why did he pick, you know, the where'd he get that car from? Where'd he get that badass car, you know?
Because he stole it from somebody, man. That's how you are when you're a Terminator. You steal crap, and you put Chet's dead head on your face. And
that was great.
That was pretty funny.
I like that.
Although I kind of have an issue with that. How was he navigating around without his real head?
That's it. Yeah. Well, maybe he has eyes in his fingers or something.
Anyway,
I don't know.
There's some issues with some of the tech and stuff, but generally, I mean, it's still consistent with the movies. Okay, I've already said my thing. So, Randy, your thoughts? Brian seemed to think some potential, but some weaknesses. What do you think?
Just to continue that thought, if you don't need your head to navigate around, then you don't need a head. That's just I don't get it.
But, oh, look at you. Well, then they would never know you were a. They wouldn't know that you were a a substitute teacher. They'd think you were some headless freak trying to get into school.
Yeah, Brian actually made me think when he said that guy couldn't shoot, I was thinking, man, if I was carrying a pistol around inside my leg and I had to pull it out and shoot some kid that was diving out a window, I would probably miss too with all the training you could give me. But then again, he's a Terminator. He should have known that kid was going to dive out that window.
Yeah, plus he doesn't have, he doesn't have pain. And what's with them keeping stuff inside of their leg? Couldn't he have, I don't know.
One more thing, sorry to interrupt, but do Terminators not have any peripheral vision because they're constantly getting hit by cars?
Did you notice it's like letterboxing in their little view. They got this like HUD, but there's chunks of it
cut off.
They're
wearing blinders.
Yeah, yeah. And it's all red. They're like, I can't see through all this red stuff.
Right. And the other thing they can't seem to do is when something needs to be torn apart, they can't just tear off the least strong part of that. They've got to start with the strongest thing and so they would go up to a brick wall where there was a window and they would start pulling bricks out of the wall. And then once the wall was about to fall down, then they'd smash the window. That's how a Terminator thinks.
Yeah. Yeah. But, they're pretty thuggish. But yeah, I mean, all of those nitpicks aside, I'll say it again. It's consistent with the way the Terminator has always been portrayed. So we may have different sensibilities now, but I just think it's consistent.
It can be consistent. Let's hope that, and they've got 6 episodes in the can. They started filming this thing a year ago, which is kind of scary if for some reason it really took off and they started making new episodes 2 months from now.
Yeah.
As all of a sudden the younger actors are going to age suddenly. But
yeah.
They've got 6 episodes in the can, and let's hope that they didn't touch any time travel for the next 4 episodes, because that was the big hang up for me was the time travel. I get it. You want to bring them to 2007 or 8 or whatever. So you can just film in your natural environment. You don't have to age stuff. I get it that, they were trying to avoid another plot hole that they were about to set up on the Connor character. But my gosh, the way they used time travel in the very first episode caused so many plot holes and questions that I almost had a hard time tuning in for the second episode.
Yeah, and it always does. That stuff always jacks up. It messes you up. I hate freaking time travel, especially when it's done really bad.
Yeah,
and
you have to question their decision making too. It's like, well, when should we go back and kill him? Let's see. We could go back to when he's a baby and shoot him,
or we can wait
until he's a teenager and he can run.
But we'll
and you got all, and you just got all these questions. Like she says, I've been looking for you for 3 weeks, and you go, well, you could have found me 3 weeks ago if you'd come back 6 weeks earlier or whatever. And you just always have those questions. And I will say this: the time travel led to the funniest moment in the first 2 episodes for me, which was this scene where just after they've traveled forward in time, and of course that strips them of their clothes.
Yeah, they're buck
Sarah
naked.
Sarah Connor's facing River Tam, and the camera's behind River Tam, and Sarah Connor's found some clothes, and I guess River Tam has, but she hadn't put them on yet. And there's all these guns laying out between them, and Sarah Connor's starting to inspect the guns, and she looks at River Tam and says, "You should really holster those." And then River Tam puts on a bra.
Yeah, which is awesome, and I love that we're referring to her as River still. You know what though? When she was Buck and she was fighting those punks, those drunk punks that were so stereotypic and convenient for the freeway. That was great, dude. Yeah, come here, baby. You look like River Tam. Come here. You're freaking buck naked.
So I'm definitely watching it next Monday. There's nothing else to watch on Monday. That was our TV night before they took away Chuck, although we're going to get another episode of that. And by the way, most underused person, Richard T. Jones is in this thing. Mm-hmm. He's the investigator, the detective who's about to realize that they've disappeared for 8 years and they're back.
Yeah.
And this is a guy who he's never been in anything memorable except he was Cooper in Event Horizon.
Oh yeah.
And
he was
awesome. He was the reason to watch that film.
Yeah, I agree.
Because Sam Neill certainly wasn't.
No, although Sam Neill, when he looked all cracky and weird, I like that part. But I'll say this last thing about Terminator. The 300 chick is way hot. That's all I'm going to say. She's such a Betty. Oh. Anyway, let's move on. Oh, you know, it'd be great if Arnold showed up for he was the governor during an attack or something. That would be great.
Yeah. And isn't there a thing he said he won't do any acting whatsoever while he's governor or something like that? There was something where he made some sort of agreement or deal or promise or I don't know what.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is. There was something about how he wouldn't be in anything anymore. But then he showed up in that Around the World in 80 Days with Jackie Chan and that other guy that's British. I don't know his name. He looks like he should be one of the what's that show? The British show with the Doctor Who. He looks like he should be Doctor Who. I don't know his name.
The Terminator.
I love letting
you try to figure it out for yourself.
Yeah. And not that Arnold would look good. I'm just thinking it'd be kind of cool if he, you know. Anyway, the bottom line is this looks like potentially good stuff. It's very Fox-like. This feels like a Fox show for sure.
Yeah. Or CW.
Yeah.
Right. Kind of show.
It's basically Prison Break with time travel and robots.
Yeah.
Get right down to it.
I've been kind of with Battlestar Galactica having that whole reimagining of the show. Mm-hmm. I was kind of disappointed they didn't try like to do a reimagining of the show, because it felt like just a continuation of what we'd seen at the movies with just different actors.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. I don't know. Some may take that as a good thing. I've decided to.
Yeah.
I don't know whether I really feel that way or not. You know, it's hard to completely reimagine 1992 or 3, whatever it was, because it's really not all that different from now. However, I can kind of see where you're coming from. And it feels like a sequel to 2.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it is, like right after that.
Yeah. Which I'm kind of okay with. And the chick from 300 is hot.
And the beautiful thing about, there's one way that time travel is great, which is if you make it a continuation of Terminator 2, it doesn't matter what happens in Terminator 3.
No.
Because the time travel just obliterates it.
Yeah, this is like the new Superman movie, which I wasn't really into. But it's as if Nuclear Man and Superman never pushed the moon together.
Yeah.
Which is great. All right, let's move on. We'd love to know how you guys feel about it. So send us your feedback. If you like the show, awesome. Tell us all about it. All right, we are going to jump right ahead. I was going to talk about some Nintendo releases. I'll just say this. If you were worried about Nintendo's calendar year for 2008, worry no more. There's a list of amazing titles coming out for both the Wii and the DS this year that it's pretty awesome. And makes me think that these consoles are going to have have a good life in this particular year. And I could go on and on and on, but it's huge. And there's tons of titles all the way through the year. Every month is being hit. And there's obviously things we don't even know about yet, but good stuff, good stuff. I was going to find one or two here and mention them, but there's tons of it. Anyway, especially DS games. The DS games are going to rock the world. Anyway, but we won't talk about that because we're going to run out of time. Instead, we're going to jump right to a special segment that we haven't done in a while, and I know you guys miss it. I know I miss it. Let's play the intro.
It's time for Extra Life Radio's Crappy Movie of the Week.
And this edition of the Crappy Movie of the Week, it comes to you by someone who's making me a cough switch, even though I'm kind of done coughing pretty much. His name is, I want to say it's Brian, excuse me, Daryl. Someone named Daryl is making me a custom-built cough switch for future colds and flus. So that's
nice.
Good. Yeah, it's cool, huh?
So planning out your future illnesses.
Yeah, so I'm in advance, I'm sponsoring this episode of Crappy Movie of the Week to him. So thanks for doing that, Daryl. And the Crappy Movie of the Week this week is something called Life Force.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
This came out in 1985.
Patrick Stewart, yeah.
Yeah, he was in it, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, Patrick Stewart was in it. Who else? Peter Firth. That guy sounds familiar.
And the lady who was naked the entire movie.
Yeah, what was her name? Aubrey Morris, I believe.
I can't remember. All I remember is just her being naked
Nancy
the entire
Paul.
Movie.
Yeah. You've seen this then.
Yeah, oh, I think I know what we're
I've
talking about.
I've seen this recently.
We're talking about a French
Vampire
actress.
From space.
Yeah, she's French. It's not Abby.
Yeah, she's French.
She is it? What kind of
Matilda
French?
May.
Yeah, Matilda May. Is that it? Yeah, that's it. Matilda May. She is known simply in the credits as Space Girl.
Right.
I have also seen this movie. It was forever ago, so I remember little. I do remember Patrick Stewart being in it. I remember at one point him being in a helicopter flying over what looked like a destroyed city, and that scene stuck with me for some reason.
Yeah.
Most recently, I've been watching Star Trek Season 5. That was a good season, by the way. Next Generation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I had to see Life Force because my wife has mucho lusto for Patrick Stewart, and so at some point my wife had to watch everything he's ever made a couple times.
Mucho lusto for Patrick Stewart. Awesome.
Yep.
You know he's 70 or something now.
Seen some real crap too, man. He's he's managed.
He wasn't in Excalibur, and that was kind of poopy, that version. Some other stuff. But anyway, here's the plot summary for this dumb movie, Life Force. Trust me, it's not that great. A space shuttle mission investigating Halley's Comet brings back a malevolent race of space vampires. They transform most of London's population into zombies. Well, of course, the only survivor is the expedition and British authorities. What? The only survivor of the expedition and British authorities attempt to capture... This is the most horribly written thing ever. Anyway, that gives you the idea. All you need to know is zombies, Halley's Comet, and good times were had by all. Let's play some clips, shall we?
Do it.
Okay, I'm going to play this one. She will spread her life force. Really? Let's listen.
Is it possible we didn't find all of her victims? If we didn't find all the victims, if there are others besides the girl in the park...
The thing would spread.
In a chain reaction, geometrically, until by now...
All right.
I can't use geometry.
Geometrically.
I just realized that Peter Firth has read a couple of audiobooks that I've heard. I'm not sure exactly what they were, but
I love British people. British people can read anything and I'll listen to it. Hey, by the way, I forgot to do this at the end of the Terminator talk. Can we just have a quick poll? This is way fast. Are Terminator cyborgs or are they not cyborgs? Because they claim themselves they are. Arnold says, we are a human tissue and cybernetic organism, right? Yeah. Okay, yeah. And in the show, the second episode, the dude that was chasing the Summer Glau around, he hit the dirt, and then on his little red display, it said, unknown cyborg, flee the area, or something like that, or evade capture, and he took off. So he called her a cyborg. So let's finish this. Are they cyborgs, or are they just androids? Randy?
I think you answered your question there.
Oh, did I? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, because they said it.
Rest my case, dude. That's what I've been telling the damn website people all day. That's the difference. They defined it that way, therefore that is what we're going with.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry.
An android is just a human-shaped robot.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's it.
But with the flesh on them...
It doesn't matter, but I'm just saying, an android is an android regardless of whether it has flesh.
Okay.
Seriously.
I know, but it sounded awesome the way you said it.
You can build a wooden robot and call it an android as long as it's shaped like a human.
Okay.
A cyborg, though, since it stands for cybernetic organism, must have some organics, right?
Okay.
Okay.
Which they do.
You were talking about the combination of robotics and organics.
Yeah.
Cyborg.
Yeah, cyborg. All right. I was right. They were wrong. Have a nice day. It was a little battle we did between them and RoboCop, and RoboCop did not do very well in that poll.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, RoboCop could take a Terminator easily.
I think he could easily. Too. I think people are forgetting
RoboCop can actually shoot. You ever seen the show? And it's like he walks in the room and goes do 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 do, and he goes.
Yeah, you still have these problems with the Terminator not being able to shoot the broadside of a barn.
Also, RoboCop's potentially much smarter. I mean. By and large, these guys are really dumb, these Terminators.
Mm-hmm.
So RoboCop might be smart enough to think about running up to the, you know, the cyborg and throwing him into outer space or something. I don't know how strong he is, but you know what I mean. He's smart enough to come up with good tactics, superior tactics.
Yeah, plus he's got that naked lunch Peter Weller guy in there, and he's awesome. Oh, yeah. all right, sorry, back to the movie.
Life Force.
Oh, I'm playing the same clip again. Okay, this one is about no girl. Totally dangerous. I don't know what the hell I wrote here. What's wrong with me? Okay, well, let's just listen to this one. We'll let it speak for itself here.
That girl was no girl. She's totally alien to this planet and our life form, and totally dangerous.
Totally dangerous. Now I know where the totally came from. I forgot. You know what? I kind of want to see this again.
No, you don't.
Yeah,
I kind of do, dude.
Yes, you do. It's bad, but in a good way. It's a good bad.
I don't care if you kind of do. You don't.
Randy has this thing. He will deny anyone their right to say that it's so bad it's good. In fact, every time I've tried to use that with you, Randy, you've always poo-pooed it.
Let's see. So bad it's good.
Yeah, like Super Friends. You don't believe me when I say Super
it's
Friends.
It's so bad that it is entertaining, because there's some that's bad that's not entertaining. It's just bad. But if it's so bad that you're like, this is funny because it is so bad, that's entertaining. So right. so bad that it's... Yeah.
So you're kind of drawing a different dichotomy there between bad and good, or...
It is
bad
good,
and fun.
No, it is good despite their intentions. They intended it to be good, but it ended up being good for a different reason other than what they intended. How's that?
All right. I'm with you there. I have no idea what the hell you said.
And I'll give you some examples of things that I think are awesome, that I really enjoy, and are bad. And probably the pinnacle for me would be, the Ford Fairlane. That movie is awful, and I'll sit and watch it all the way to the end.
Really? I can't stand that movie.
And just to use another Andrew Dice Clay movie,
there was another one? Oh, yeah, Pretty in Pink. That's true.
You know, Pretty in Pink is a horrible movie, but I'll sit and watch it.
Oh, I love Pretty in Pink. Really?
Well, and it's not one of those that's so bad it's good, because you can't make a case that it's good.
Really?
But it's okay to sit and watch it. It's okay, dude.
I was a teenager, and it meant something to me then.
I know. Here's another one from that exact time. Can't Buy Me Love.
It's
awful.
Okay, yeah, I'll give you that.
But you can sit and watch it, laugh, enjoy yourself, whatever.
That's true.
It's so bad that it's okay to watch it.
And by the way, Better Off Dead is not nearly as good as everyone thinks it was.
Oh, no. It was bad. It
does not hold up that well. I
went back, watched it maybe a couple of months ago. And
same. It was just kind of...
Better Off Dead, as far as movies go, makes a great handful of quotes.
Yeah, there's good quotes. It has Booger in it, and that's points for me.
Yeah,
I like Booger. But that movie just didn't hold up. Whereas A Ferris Bueller's Day Off, that show totally holds up. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles completely holds up. Lots of John Hughes work holds up completely for me. Not that John Hughes had anything to do with Better Off Dead, but I'm just saying. You know, the 80s movies in general, that movie does not hold up. It's kind of like, Tron holds up in a weird way, but Last Starfighter, not so much, you know?
Yeah, that's interesting. I used to love Willow, and I don't think that's held up at all.
No.
I can't really watch it.
I used to hate Willow, and I find that I still do.
That's really good.
Over the holidays, the kids got to watch Home Alone for the first time, really loved it, 1 and 2. So
first Home Alone movie is great. Great fun.
Those are still pretty funny.
Yeah, they hold up. It's slapsticky, you know, good times. John Hughes. Oh, we could have a whole show about John Hughes. We really could.
He's the man.
I don't know what he's doing now. He is doing some writing help on that new Owen Wilson thing. What's it called? Pistol Pete. It's not Pistol.
Yeah, that's right. But you see how when we're talking about these movies that are bad, but you can watch them. Yeah. Life Force doesn't fit that list.
No. Oh, there's another clip. Damn it.
Okay.
Sorry. We'll play. No, it's good. You reminded me because I forgot we had a 30-second clip left, and I didn't describe this one at all. So this is mystery clip number 3.
Churchill, if you read, there are 2 nude males and 1 female.
This is Churchill. We have no picture. Come in, Tom.
Churchill. I said we found a young girl.
Girl? You mean human?
Definitely humanoid.
I'd say she's perfect. I've been in space for 6 months, and she looks perfect to me.
Creepy. Creepy.
She's totally naked, so if you don't... you can't get the visual. Yeah,
that's creepy, dude.
Yeah, that was as creepy as some of these guys singing to Paula Abdul on American Idol.
Which is also creepy.
Oh, if I find a naked girl in space, I'm not messing with her.
Yeah.
Something's not right.
She'll be a face hugger. Right. She'll jump out, hug your face, and then later when you're pigging out, you'll give birth to something. I'm telling you. Yeah. I've seen it.
Extra. You ever seen that?
Did you know who, by the way, did you know the dude? I can't remember his name in the show, but in Alien, the first Alien movie that got the face hugger first, and then they went back and he's pigging out at lunch and stuff. And then he goes, the thing comes out. That's John Hurt.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we knew that.
I didn't know that. No idea, dude. It's John Hurt from freaking like Hellboy, the old guy.
Yeah.
I mean, no, I know John Hurt does a lot more than Hellboy. I'm just using it as one example that sprung to mind. But he's, you know, Mr. Classic freaking British, you know, Patrick Stewart level dude. I had no idea it was him.
Nobody did.
No, I did. Yeah, I didn't.
And he's got the greatest character name ever, that one name character in Alien, which, by the way, man, that movie's almost 30 years old. That's amazing.
Oh, I know, dude. That's crazy.
He plays Kane. I love that.
Kane.
That's just great when you get that one name in a movie.
Speaking of those movies, Ridley Scott did that film, obviously. What came first, that or Blade Runner?
Blade Alien?
Blade Runner was first? Yeah, that's right, so, isn't it?
Alien or Blade Runner, okay.
Yeah, Alien or Blade Runner. Anyone know? I don't know.
I thought Alien was first.
Maybe the chat room knows. Spaceballs was awesome, someone said.
If Alien was 1979, yeah, Blade Runner was much later. It took 3 years later, yeah.
So Blade Runner was
Alien
later.
Alien came first. Blade Runner's 1982.
Interesting. I don't really have a good timeline in my head for that, but I remember being completely freaked out, and I also thought Sigourney Weaver was hot in her underwear.
Yeah.
Not so much now. Not so much
sweet,
now.
Her boy underwear, yeah.
Yeah, her man wear. All right. boy, I'm so happy about how few coughs I've had to not do. Okay, let's do... where are we now? That's it. That's your crappy movie of the week. Can I play two sound clips? And then, Randy... You were going to talk about something. Oh, about early January movies. So
that's right.
Before you do that, I got to play this. Some little kid. This was sent by someone whose little kid said this. I actually think it was Jeff's kid. Jeff's has been on the show once or twice. Anyway, this is what this kid has to say, and it's a crack up. I think he's basically mimicking something I said some 50 shows ago. Check it out.
Like a butthole outside.
Yeah, it's snowing like a butthole outside. Very nice. Very nice.
Oh, that's wonderful.
That's a way to bring your kid up and have him say stuff that makes everyone laugh. And it was indeed, that when that file was sent, it was indeed, and I quote, snowing like a butthole outside. So thanks for that. And then we had somebody send in this quick clip. We're going to play this, and then we'll get to the end of here. This is something about HD DVD. We talked a lot last week about that, and here's a follow-up.
Hey, Scott and the gang, this is Tristan from Ohio, and I'm really hoping this gets played early in the show instead of just at the end when all the calls are pretty much ignored, because I put a lot of thought into this. I was just listening to the most recent podcast from the 11th, and you were talking about how everyone jumped ship on HD DVD and went over to Blu-ray, and I have a little theory on why that is, and it all has to do with economics, and this little theory is that, okay, here it goes. HD DVD players can play old DVDs, so you can't make any more money.
Okay, incorrect. Blu-rays, yeah. Blu-ray players also play DVDs, and I'm told quite well.
Yes, the PS3 is a pretty good upscaler.
Yeah, it does a really good job. So you would be right if that was true. However, you can play regular DVDs just fine on your Blu-ray player or your PS3, which is a Blu-ray player.
Well, and maybe not every player, but yeah, it's possible.
Yeah, definitely the PS3. I know that. I can't speak for the rest because I don't know, but I'm pretty sure that they all do. You know, they basically have to contain two lasers. They have to, and this is true of HD DVD, by the way. It wasn't the same laser. Two different, I think. I'm not sure about that now. But my understanding is they have two lasers, one that does high def, one that does standard def, and there's your player right there. Thanks for that. Appreciate the call. Let's quickly talk about January movie releases. Randy was saying before the show that he felt like they were all crap, with the possible exception of Cloverfield, which you're going to see tomorrow, I understand.
Oh, right, right. In fact, we were considering seeing it tonight at midnight, which the movie would start in 90 minutes from right now for us. So that's kind of out the window. And yeah, we'll be seeing it tomorrow right after work. And I have grave.
You have high expectations for this? You think it's going
to
be good?
I'm trying not to. I have grave concerns about any film that's released this time of year, and we've actually had some pretty deep discussions about, well, what if it's a film that's on a really tight schedule and they can only start making it in June and they finish it in whenever, you know, this is when it's ready to go, and the way they're marketing it, they have to get it out just as quickly as they've got it ready to go, otherwise they're going to lose the buzz. I get that, and so Cloverfield, we're hoping, breaks the trend, but the trend is abysmal.
Yeah, it's bad.
Name a film that's been released since the beginning of this year, and I'll even grant you some films that platformed released into the beginning of this, like The Bucket List. They are all tanking in the reviews.
Well, nothing and this year, but last year, you know, you had City of Men or Children of Men. Yeah, Children of Men last year in January, and that was great. You didn't like Children of Men?
No.
Oh my gosh, I love that movie. You really didn't like that movie.
In what way did you like the movie?
I was riveted to that film. I couldn't stop watching it. It was not ever boring. It was it used a technique during action sequences that took
It's a one long take in one camera.
No. I've seen that before. Like John Woo's done it a million times. It's not that so much. It's the fight in the car with the motorcycle dudes. They stripped it of any kind of music. And the most hard-hitting, visceral, crazy, realistic, shocking experience. I loved it. I love that movie.
I understand. I know that I'm in the vast you can't have a vast minority. I am in the tiny.
Yes.
I'm in the tiny minority.
Yeah.
That didn't particularly love Children of Men.
Yeah.
And I get it. I get why it's so highly rated. I'm not unaware of what I saw. I just love that book. The changes were not necessary.
Oh,
and yeah. you end up with a film where the whole time I'm going, wait a minute, why did they make the women aboard all the children? It's called Children of Men. It's the men who are supposed to be infertile and stuff like that. And so I'm all hung up on that junk.
Yeah,
and then it had no ending. We never get to find out anything, and that's great. If you set it up, but they didn't, they just kind of thrusted it out there. Anyway, we've totally gotten off track. Children of Men is not a January release. It was a end of the year in time to get nominated for Oscars release. That's not what I'm talking about. Talking about films.
I was wrong. Sorry. Keep going.
Yeah, but I'm just talking about films that are released in January because they're so bad that if they were released in the 4 or 5 months before that, no one would go see them.
Yeah.
And
so bad. Or is it a great month for experimental movies?
No. What's experimental about that Uwe Boll thing that came out last week?
Devil's Advocate. No, wait. See, this is the whole point, Brian. I think Brian, I hope Brian is right. Because I hope Cloverfield is the experiment that works.
So do I.
Yeah, that changes the whole schmear. That would be great.
I want every movie to be fantastic because I want to go see movies every day. And so, like, I would have gone to see In the Name of the King. I was minutes away from seeing it, but I thought, let's give it a couple of days for some reviews to come in. And then every single review was saying, this is the worst movie you will ever see. And by the way, what were you thinking, Randy? I mean, that was in the newspaper.
Yeah.
And
why didn't they just call that In the Name of Burt Reynolds? Why didn't they do that?
In the previous week, that film One Missed Call came out and has been the most universally panned film I've ever heard of. And it just goes on and on. And so you get to where you're saying, all right, I'm just not going to go see a movie that opens in January. It can't be. Your first Sunday is apparently awful. Yeah. You just go on and on and on. So, again, I hope Cloverfield is the exception. I'm going to go see it. And, I hope it's good because that's my kind of movie right there. But
We'll see.
It's the wrong time of year for it.
Now, I had in my notes we were going to talk about Brian's exceeding hatred of Minority Report. We're out of time, so we're going to have to push that to a different show. But we will do it because I think it's interesting, and I think that people want to hear how you feel about that fine film. What I think is, I'm going to say something that is both popular and unpopular. It is one of my favorite Spielberg movies. I know that that sounds terrible to you, but I have reasons, and we'll talk about it on another show.
Oh,
you're an idiot.
I have one bit of news, and that is that as we record the show at 10:30 p.m. Central on Thursday evening, Cloverfield is holding 71% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. And I like Rotten Tomatoes because it's just a concentration of reviews. And
the aggregate always wins, in my opinion.
Right. They all have the same weight, and I kind of like that, although I understand how it could suck.
Yeah.
But, at this point last week, the Dungeon Siege movie was still holding at 0% fresh. It only had like a dozen reviews, but still, they were all negative. So at least of the, and how many are we talking about? Of the 52 reviews they've got for Cloverfield so far, 71% fresh is it gives me some hope,
Yeah. Doesn't it make you want to grab Jason Statham and Gimli and slap him around and say, what the hell are you guys doing? You can do better than this. And doesn't it make you want to shoot Burt Reynolds and put him out of his damn misery at this point? It does me.
By the way, while we're on the subject of my wife's mucho gusto, Jason Statham is on the Patrick Stewart list.
I love Jason Statham. I think that so guy is really compelling to watch, and I'm sad that he's in this piece of poo. Anyway, and I like The Game. that it's based on quite a bit.
But when you play that game, do you think, ooh, this is a movie?
No. Never. I play it and go, ooh, this is a game. And that's it. That's how it's where it should end. And Uwe Boll, dude, come on. Be done. He's got to be done. How can this keep happening?
How can you lose this much money on a film as a director and ever get work again?
No.
And I shouldn't say that, because every great director at one point or another has had a huge loss. But this is like the third big tragedy in a row for his producer.
Yeah, you get the Blood Rain deal, and before that you had your whatnot. I can't remember what came before that, but it's all bad. It's all bad. He sucks.
You know what else comes out in January?
I don't know what.
Rambo.
Oh, yeah, Rambo.
Once again, and that's, I am really concerned about that film, because that should have been out by the end of the year in order to have
for
a chance
Oscar
to win an Oscar. Yes.
True.
You don't know Sly Stallone if you don't think he expects to win an Oscar with his movies.
Yeah, that's true. He expects to every damn time. Over the Top, should have won.
But you know very well that he wrote that Rocky Balboa movie with every bit of writing talent he could possibly muster. True. And it was not bad.
True that.
It was okay.
Yeah, true that.
But this one, I truly believe that it was timed to come out by the end of the year, and then some people got their hands on it, watched it, and went, no, that's sorry. Don't do that.
Yeah, probably not. Well, we'll see. We'll see, because I'm a Sly Stallone fan at heart.
I am too.
To repeat myself, I hope it's good. Yeah. Please let it be good.
Let it be good. Let there be two good movies in January. We'll be really happy about that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, holy crap, we've gone over, but we've had a great time. I'm going to go ahead and end the show now. Thanks, everybody, for being here. Big thanks to Randy and Brian. We hope O found his apartment and his broadband, and he'll be with us next week. Thanks to the chat room. You guys were great and kept yourselves in an orderly fashion, and that is always nice. So thanks for doing that. I meant to leave time for calls. We didn't do that. We'll do it next week, I swear. I know I promised last week, but we'll try to do that. Big thanks again to GoDaddy.com and YouBuyNow.com for being sponsors of the show. To learn more about them, you can find more on the site. In fact, those GoDaddy codes are at a link at the top of MyExtraLife.com, where you can also go to enjoy the blog, check out the message boards. Why not sign up for those, hang out with some of those folks, be a part of the Extra Life community. And I almost did it tonight, but not quite. I have an announcement. 56 Geeks lovers, you'll be interested in the next project. 56 something. I'm not going to tell you what it is yet, but I'm kind of excited about it. I just need to finalize a few things, so we'll talk about it next week. Big thanks to everybody who helps the show be what it is. Scott Fletcher, Rob Goobers, Sebastian Vanderbeek, who was really good in Necessary Roughness was the movie? I don't remember. I'm kidding. Big thanks to him. Thanks to everybody who contributes and send stuff in, and make sure to listen around. We got a few phone calls to play as well. And we'll see you guys next week for show 168. Have a great one.
Previously on Extra Life Radio.
This hell will never end.
I don't care. It's 2008. Holy crap.
Somebody set up us the bomb.
Hasselhoff would crap his pants every time.
Minnesota makes me think of some, like, crack whore.
It's even too old for me, but I love the way it sounds. What, a kick in the nards? Here in America, that's a butt crack. Dude, I watched Dick Clark's balls drop again. My wife just said it was my penis. You people all suck.
Dakota does sound like a fat chick.
Here in Utah, that's like one hooker.
The bartering currency was beakers of methamphetamine.
You'd have to hack off your noodle. I put a small bowl of acid right around my crotch area on the floor.
I want to play by myself. You will never look as stupid as those people in those air guitar competitions.
I knew you'd pulled up the freaking peasant perspective on me. Because I live in my little English bubble, not allowing other cultures to get through.
Montana sounds like a strip.
Poop on command would be amazing for parties.
Well, it took me longer. It took me about...
That's because you're stupid.
And I'm still not really into these androgynous 15-year-old boy hero people.
Somebody set up us the bomb.
Let's do one, damn it. Don't eat those potatoes, they have the blight.
You spoon-feed me. Some stuff.
Write this down, folks. Sebastian over there is a really nice guy.
Okay, I do want to date him.
Kim still says cement instead of cement. I didn't say Toshiba. We usually say gonorrhea, but we're trying not to offend him. I just like all the glittery, shiny things, and I'd like to watch.
We'll just run down to Walmart and pick you up one of them $80 TVs, and you're good to go, man.
How's it going, eh? You know, we live down by the reservation. They got a new casino, eh? I just get a switchblade, slice him in the scrotum, and kick him out on their bum.
Scott, you suck.
The porn industry. Gong, gong, gong. Or as my daughter says, Warner Bros. I'm not flipping. This isn't me flipping. No, Young Guns was poo.
Here's what we'll do. We'll make the Cowboys gay.
Then he pulled it out and rinsed it off inside, dried it off real good, put it back. You did not like the Dewey Cox. There could be some trouble here.
If you're fat, stay fat.
Hello, everyone at DLR. This is Geezer Frog, here to scream and pout that they bumped Smash Brothers back again. I'm infuriated, and so should you be. Bye.
Scott, it's snowing like a butthole outside.